You're listening to Sion Radio with me, Andrew David. Always good to catch up with people that we feature in our news bulletins. And Cameron and Chelsea and the team came across an organisation called Bearded Fishermen about 2 or 3 months ago and ran a little feature on one of our Sion News broadcasts. And it appears that the way that the Bearded Fishermen are now becoming widely known is I got an email from somebody at De Montfort University in Leicester saying, could we give another shout out to the Bearded Fishermen? And I thought, I know, I didn't have a chance to chat to them last time. Let's put this right and let's see if we can have a chat with, in fact, I know we can, with the man who's the chairman of Bearded Fishermen. Rick Roberts joins us. Rick, how are you?
I'm all right, thank you.
Now, Bearded Fishermen, if I go to your website, there's a lovely little graphic of two men with beards. What on earth is Bearded Fishermen all about? Because it actually is to do with mental health, isn't it?
It is, yeah. Myself and Mick, we're the founders of Bearded Fishermen. We're actually anglers, and we've been fishing for quite a number of years together. And we both have big beards.
So it was logical that if you wanted to get together, you'd call yourself the Bearded Fisherman. But yeah. just going off track, what sort of fishing do you do?
Well, Mick likes all sorts of fishing. He'll go on the sea, he'll go on rivers, and he'll go on lakes. I prefer the lakes, going for the big carp.
Ah, yes, of which we have quite a few in the East Midlands and across Lincolnshire. There's some lovely carp fishing, I'm told. I'm not that I've done it myself. And you can get some reasonable sizes, can't you?
Oh, yeah, there's some brilliant venues around Lincolnshire. And I'm chasing a carp at the minute, known as Spot, and he's just under 40 pounds.
Oh, my goodness.
I've been trying 2 years and I haven't got him yet, but I will.
And, of course, we must say that you're doing it for sport. And once you've caught and weighed and had a picture, you put Mr. Spot back into the lake.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, definitely. Yeah, ready for someone else to try and catch him in another 2 years.
Absolutely. Now, we have now ascertained your credit and your credibility as a fisherman and the fact that you're bearded. Tell us about what it is you actually do, and because you've set up a charity to help people with mental illness.
We have. How it come about was where we go normally fishing, we heard from some of the guys there that one of the local fishermen that we used to see around the lake had decided he wanted to take his own life. And we were sat there at the side of the lake and was thinking, because I've been through it myself and had a few attempts, lived on the street, Mick done the same, and we found ourselves in a much better position now. So we thought, there must be something we can do. So basically within 10 minutes, we'd come up with a Bearded Fisherman and set a group up on Facebook. So, and basically it was a support group for men, just to chat on Facebook, mainly aimed at different anglers. But obviously it's grown a bit since then.
It certainly has. You've got a fantastic website, and I can hear in the background, I can hear people chatting on the phone. I mean, the thing is, where we are at the moment, okay, so maybe we're coming out the other side of the latest lockdown and pandemic, but the damage I feel, and having talked to friends and colleagues, is going to go on not just after we're all inoculated and vaccinated and all the rest of it, but for a considerable length of time. So something like your organisation is going to be vital, particularly, I suspect, for men who really, we do find it incredibly difficult to open up, don't we?
Yeah, we do. I mean, we deal with everyone now. Originally, it was just for men, but we've got so many calls from ladies and teenage girls, teenage boys. We just decided it was better to open up to everybody and try and, you know, offer support to everybody. But yeah, I mean, with the pandemic, it's just made it all go sky high. And it is going to continue. I mean, people aren't going to suddenly find themselves back in work. We was discussing this morning, one of our volunteers worked for TUI, and she got a phone, an email this morning saying, we're really sorry, but you no longer work for us. So she was gutted. So, you know, and it's not just happening to her, it's happening to so many people around the country now.
listening to the way you responded, first of all, to that friend of yours, you know, where you were fishing, the thing that really marks you apart from some of the other professional services is the fact that you and Mick and probably many of the others who work with you have actually been through this before, so that you're speaking from a position of really do understand what people are going through.
Yeah. I mean, we've both been through it before. I've tried a couple of times, and Mick tried a few times. I lived on the streets for a year. Luckily, I got help and I got a place in the YMCA, but not everybody's right. That fortunate. We can understand a lot of what's going on, as can a lot of our guys that work here, from all walks of life, been through all different things themselves. So when somebody rings up, we know who the best person is that can take them on and start chatting with them.
And in some senses, this continues to help you, having come through the other side of some of your dark times and some of the volunteers, because this actually gives you a purpose for getting up in the morning when, you know, in the cold, dark, particularly the cold, dark that we've had recently, you just to roll over and go back under the duvet might have been the best thing, or indeed taking it a bit further. So, you know, everybody seems to benefit from something like this. What do you do if you get somebody calling in who you know needs a little bit more help than you and your colleagues can give? Do you refer them on?
We do refer them on, but it sounds really bad when you say refer them on.
It does.
You're just passing them on.
Yeah.
But we don't do that. We stay with them. So we'll refer them on to more professional groups if they need that sort of help. But we stay with them through the course of it as well. So we're always there for them. So we never actually just pass them on.
No.
But we will refer them to other groups and to other facilities that they can get higher level of support. But we always stay with them. So they can always, you know, we're always in touch with them. And, you know, we're there all the time. So.
And that is really important, because sometimes when you get referred to the bigger, more professional organisations, you end up stalled because they are so busy that, you know, help doesn't come as immediately as people need it when they make the first call to you.
No, that's it. I mean, the agencies out there are brilliant, but they are so snowed under with work and the backlogs, and some of the waiting lists are ridiculously long now.
Yeah.
And you've got that all over the country. So, you know, we have to stay with them to continue giving them the support they need until they can get in.
Yeah, even if it's just simply being there and saying, how are you doing today? I know it's tough and all the rest of it. It will happen. How are you funding this operation?
We get public donations we basically put in for what grants we can, but we don't rely on the grants anymore, because since COVID that's changed. Whereas before you could put in for a grant for say £10,000 and it'd last you a year, and you'd probably get 10, 12 groups going for it. Now you've got thousands of groups going for it. So you're fighting constantly to get it. So we rely mainly on public donations, and we're trying to raise money at the minute with one of our guys doing a 2,000-mile bike trek.
Goodness.
So, but again, we don't expect a lot from the public, because everyone's in the same boat now. And there's so many jobs lost, you know, even finding a couple of quid to give away nowadays. If it's a choice of giving us a couple of quid or buying a couple of bread loaves, we'd much rather they buy a couple of bread loaves, you know. So, and everyone's in the same boat now. So,
you obviously have started small. How far afield do you get your calls from? Do you know?
The furthest one we've had is Cyprus.
Goodness gracious me!
Because we do quite a bit with ex-forces,
right.
And we've teamed up with some great guys. that specialize in, they're all ex-forces themselves. So we've got people from Cyprus, Greece, France, Portugal, phoners for a chat. And we've been as far as America so Goodness. Far, not on the support, but the support for us. We was in New York Times.
Oh, fantastic.
So, you know, one of our biggest supporters is extremely famous. So,
no names, no patro. I mean, the fascinating thing is what you've just described is the way, sadly, what you're having to deal with and what you're helping with is universal. It knows no country boundaries. It's not in and out of the EU. It's not in and out of the North and Southern Hemisphere. It really is pan-galactic, but pan-world. And maybe it's something where we have learnt to become a little bit more together in our thinking rather than isolationist as we were heading.
Yeah, I mean, the phone calls we've got from abroad, we don't turn them away. I mean, obviously, we can do video calls with them. We can do telephone calls with them. But we're still there for them. They're still going through the same as everyone else is going through. And so, you know, it makes no difference what the mileage is away. You know, a phone call is a phone call.
Yeah. So if anybody listening to this, first of all, wants to literally get in touch with you because they feel they need help, what's the quickest and easiest way of doing that?
We have an 0300 charity number, which is actually free to ring us. Some mobiles are a bit iffy, but we pay for extra minutes, so we cover the cost of the call.
Oh, terrific.
Which you can find on our website, our Facebook page, Twitter. We're all over, so it's easy to find.
So it's 0300 365 0019. Is that the number?
That's it, yeah.
And it's a, as I say, it's a fantastic website. Now, if somebody feels that they'd like to contribute in another way by maybe raising money or perhaps help signing up to help you, are you interested in people offering their services?
Yeah, definitely. We're extending our hours so that the call centre is open till 10 p.m. at night, manned. We are a 24-hour service, but obviously at the minute from 5 o'clock it switches to mobiles.
Right.
But we are going to actually keep the office open now till 10 at night, and then it'll switch to mobile till 8 in the morning.
Goodness.
And we're extending our call centre. We've just put the office on next door where we're taking on another 7 call centre operatives.
Oh, fantastic. So if anybody wants to get in contact to offer themselves, again, should they go to the website and find a contact us details?
They can go to the website and send us a message through that or through Facebook, or they can just give us a ring.
Rick, it's been very uplifting chatting to you. I know you're dealing in the darker side of life at the moment, but to hear what you're doing and to the way this has taken on and taken off, thank you very much indeed, Rick, for spending some time with us today. Your website is very easy to find. It's just beardedfishman.org.uk. It was so simple and so straightforward. And I'll repeat the number again. It's 0300 365 0019. We've been chatting to the chairman of Bearded Fishermen, Rick Roberts. Rick, thank you very much indeed for being with us today here on Siren Radio.
Thank you for having me.